Hello, listeners. This is Paula Scataloni. Transformative Harmonics is an academy for individual and planetary healing rooted in ancient wisdom and modern science. We are here for those who are interested in being guided back to soul so they can step into their signature frequency and be in service of humanity. If you've been looking for a place to land and settle down, develop community, and dive into the psyche and soma in a way that is supportive, trauma-informed, and integrative, then our programs are here for you now. Our monthly membership circle is available for those looking for a one or twice a month option for themselves and supported by my writings and somatic practices and sound journeys through Substack. Our immersive program is a deep dive into your own, your ancestral, and the collective, so you can go through your own initiation and transformation into your signature frequency with a small, intimate cohort. These groups are closed, and they only open every other month. So please reach out to me if you're interested in one of our upcoming groups. If any of these programs feel like they resonate with you, go to my website, paulascataloni.com, and fill out an application or sign up for a discovery call. I'm happy to meet with you and give you more information to help you make your decision. We would love to meet you and bring your wisdom into the circle.
Welcome. I'm your host, Paula Scataloni, the founder of Transformative Harmonics, a podcast that offers listeners a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Transformative Harmonics. I am your host, Paula Scataloni. Today's guest could not have arrived at more of a timely moment. And so our conversation, as you listen, covers a lot of material, including how we think about ourselves as planetary citizens. I am thrilled that I had the opportunity to converse with Jude and share space. And I hope you enjoy this episode and also look into some of the resources. One of the books that we mention, The Eighth Chakra, is a book we use in my program, and I highly recommend it, as well as any of the other resources that we mention. So very briefly, I will say that Dr. Jude Kuravan is a cosmologist, a planetary healer, a futurist, and an author. She was previously the senior businesswoman in the UK, and she's the co-founder of Whole World View. Jude integrates leading-edge science with research in consciousness and universal wisdom teachings, and she's focused on enabling transformational and emergent resolutions for our collective planetary issues. She also raises awareness and empowers us to make fundamental changes and sustainable global solutions for our current global problems. Jude holds a PhD from the University of Reading in archaeology and a master's in physics from Oxford University. Some of the books that we will mention in the program include The Cosmic Hologram, Information at the Center of Creation, The Story of Gaia, The Big Breath, and The Evolutionary Journey of a Conscious Planet, and then some of her work of as she traveled around the world for two decades as a planetary and global citizen are described in her book, The Eighth Chakra and the 16th Step. So I do hope that you check out these resources as well as a free YouTube video. It's a documentary that she co-produced called A Radical Guide to Reality. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did as we introduce you to the work of Jude Kuravan. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Transformative Harmonics. This week's guest, I'm so excited to have this conversation, and I'd like to create the space for us to really ingest what we're about to talk about, because it is, I think, both simple and complex is what I've decided. So I'll ask the listeners to just take a moment, just notice where you are, and start to bring your awareness to the body and the breath before we begin, as we settle in and find the back body. For myself, this was important as well, because I do think the points we're going to talk about today are so important. And so we'll take one last breath together as I invite Jude Kuravan into this space. Now, Jude, you are a scientist, a healer, a mystic, an author, an educator. What are you not? I don't know. You wear many hats. And what I love about you is the blend of the science and the ancient wisdom. And I find myself, even though I'm in the psychotherapy and neuroscience role, you know, I'm doing the same thing. How do we hold both worlds? And so I've brought you in, as I mentioned, on the heels of Anne Baring and some of the other scholars who are helping us to anchor what's happening in the world and to understand from a larger picture, right, the connections between all these different forces of change that are happening, whether they're political or ecological or emotional and, you know, mental health-wise, it's all connected. And so I feel like your books, as I looked at each one and started to feel into who you are, really speaks to it's more than a trilogy. It's a holder of the whole picture. And so I thought we could start. I've listened to a couple podcasts, and maybe just with the simple question of how your childhood set you up for this before we get into the, because you have been on the path of understanding our cosmology since you were very young.
I have, as you say. Well, first of all, Paula, thank you so much for the invitation to have this conversation with you and to all the folks who are with us on this journey. My journey in this life started being aware at the age of four that the world that we see around us was not the whole world, as it were. I was starting to have experiences, direct experiences, precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, clairaudient. In other words, I was hearing voices, not through my ears, but in my inner awareness. I was able to be clairvoyant and seeing things that it became pretty clear pretty soon that not everybody was seeing. And to be honest, I didn't share those experiences, not because I was scared to, I guess because I was having too much fun. But that curiosity and that engagement, walking between worlds, as I describe it, has really been my lifelong path from the age of four till now. And it's every day. So this is my lived experience of the world. So I engage with many, many different levels of awareness, of consciousness, as I would as friends and family, you know, in human form. And so for me, it's a very natural way of living. And obviously that, well, I say obviously, I grew up in the north of England, the daughter, granddaughter of coal miners. So my life was both very modest materially, but also very grounded. I'm grounded in community, and a community that, you know, had to get on with their lives. It was a tough life, but a loving community around me. But when I went to school, my experiences and my understanding by then of the nature of the world was not what I was taught. And I suspect it wasn't what you were taught. And so, but I was fascinated. I was just fascinated between how the difference or the where what I was experiencing joined with what I was being taught about the world, by my teachers, by my, you know, friends, family, community. And so what I did is I found ancient wisdom. I found especially the wisdom of ancient India, the Vedic tradition. And we're so fortunate, it seems to me, that we still have the literature from those thousands of years ago. And what the literature, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, taught us, taught me at a very young age, is that consciousness and mind aren't something we have. They're what we and the whole world are. And that has been my existential understanding of the nature of reality ever since. But what they did, Paula, it was so wonderful. I think they saved my sanity, because the world around me was a world of separation, a world of fragmentation, a world of objects and things. And there was a lot of love in our community, but love wasn't existential. It was the emotions between us, however wonderful it was. What the ancient wisdom was teaching me is that love is foundational. Love is foundational. And it was teaching me and showing me, when I was already experiencing this, the wholeness of the nature of reality. So that's been the journey. I went to Oxford University, got a master's in cosmology and quantum physics, specializing in those, went into business, went into corporate life, became the most senior businesswoman in the UK in my early 40s, running two $500 million businesses in 36 countries, left because I couldn't bear the thought of another strategic plan. And also because I was getting a sense, a profound sense that something powerful was coming. And I think we're here now. I think it's come now, and it is coming now, and we're in it now. And so what I was being guided to do, and what I volunteered to say yes to, was to show up, get out of the way, and serve this awakening, this remembering of who we are. And so I did a PhD in archaeology, researching ancient cosmologies and understanding the way in which we see each other in the world has changed over the last 10,000 years. As a background and a journey and a pathway to this point, and continuing to research, to study leading edge science across many fields of research. So my whole journey has been one of being very scenic, lots of hats, but it's really been convergent with leading edge science, ancient and universal wisdom teachings, indigenous traditions, and the nature of consciousness and mind on universal and personal levels. And they're now converging. And the evidence that, you know, we can say yes, that unity isn't an aspiration. It's our existential reality. I think comes at a time where perhaps we've never needed that remembering more than we do now.
It's a pivotal time. So you are well prepared to help take people through this and explain it in a grounded way that encompasses not just the relational dynamics between people, but our relationship with everything.
And pretty that, much.
Yeah, that's what I love. I love. So some of your books and your experience took you around the world to different sites to learn about what was needed in these locations and their purpose or preparation for these times?
Very much so. And I have to perhaps at this point quote Jørgen Kierkegaard, who's an amazing Danish philosopher. And he spoke of, we live life forwards and understand it backwards. So, you know, my middle name is Curiosity, I think, because it's always why, following those threads all through my life, but also sometimes getting as I'd love to hear your journey and understand, you know, what brought you to this point, because I, at some point and very early on, chose to say yes to what I saw as the invitation of the universe, and not always, and in fact, most times, not really knowing what that meant, where that was going to lead me, but trusting. And having had those experiences from so young, by the time I was in my 20s, you know, I did trust our universe. I didn't necessarily trust myself, but I did trust our universe to be benevolent and to invite me on this path without, again, knowing a destination, but realizing as I move further and further along it, as you do, that I can serve others and share, not to impose, but to invite. And just to say, you know, here it is, and this invitation is for all of us, because we're all what I refer to as microcosmic co-creators of the extraordinary sentience and evolutionary flow of our universe. So it has brought me, I learn every day.
Yes.
I literally am a lifelong student. Every day I learn, and every day I'm grateful to still be curious.
I have an affinity with you on that. I think that's been the driving force for my own mine was driven by healing, right? And why do humans suffer? But it was the same, like, oh, there's more, there's more, there's more. And so that innate knowingness that there was something else. And so yes. So mine did not take me around the world. It took me into many healing modalities that enabled me to have quite a large pharmacy, I would say, of different remedies in the back store.
A wonderful thing to have. And you're right. I mean, my journey did take me around the world, more than 80 countries now. And certainly in the last 35 years, that's been what I describe as pilgrimages, sacred spiritual quests to serve healing, both in terms of people, but also places and our planetary home. And that's why, you know, that guidance to go to places of conflict, for example, or past trauma, and without trying again to impose, just show up, get out of the way, and very simply allow love to flow through me as a healing balm. And like you, I have been fortunate enough to work with many, many wisdom keepers of many healing traditions and modalities. So along the way, you know, I have a medicine bag as well of those. But I've in my own experience, I've learned to really just bring simplicity.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Just bring simplicity to serve.
Beautiful. That's what I have enjoyed listening to your talks online, because you do have a way of simplifying so that we all can understand that this is accessible to all of us. It is not just for those that are sitting on mountaintops meditating. It is, it's time. And so there's concrete things that you're teaching people. Your book, The Eighth Chakra, is used in my class because it has a lot of the same concepts that bringing people into the world and language of frequency and understanding coherence and what neutrality means and dual awareness. And so, yeah, breaking things down. And so with the emergence of the eighth chakra, what feels important for you? The book itself is very practical and a beautiful way of synthesizing, I think, what's happening now with the extra chakras as well. But yeah, what speaks for you right now that feels important? There's so many people waking up and realizing they're, I don't know, we don't call it extraordinary anymore. You call it normal, super normal, I think is the word you use.
I call it super normal.
Super normal, yes.
Absolutely. And you know, I don't know if you've noticed it, but on the wholeworld-view.org website, I co-founded that nearly 10 years ago now, we talk about in the commonality of our humanity, we're all ordinary. In the commonality of our divinity, we're all extraordinary, talking of what you just said. And that was when I was doing my archaeology PhD, and I was doing what's called field walking. So near where I live are wonderful monuments, such as Stonehenge and Avebury, and they sort of mark the movement from being hunter-gatherers to being farmers and pastoralists. But those monuments are extraordinary themselves in terms of how their builders saw themselves on the world. When I was field walking, I was in a beautiful morning, bright blue sky, and suddenly I heard those words. In the commonality of our humanity, we're all ordinary. In the commonality of our divinity, we're all extraordinary. So this has been the journey. And the eighth chakra, I woke up with that title all those years ago. And since then, I actually I've evolved to, instead of calling the eighth chakra, which is, as you know, and thank you for teaching it, is midway between our hearts and our throats. It's a higher chakra. It's a transpersonal level of awareness. So I now tend to view it rather than a chakra as a level of harmonic consciousness. Yes?
Yes.
And so instead of calling it a chakra, I tend to call it the universal heart or the universal soul heart. And over the years since I wrote that book, which is, I don't know, originally something like 2007 or 8, I've also deepened my own engagement energetically and consciously with those higher transpersonal chakras. And so sort of expanded my awareness so that with the living sentience of our planetary home, Gaia, through what I call the ninth chakra, the Earth star, our entire solar family of sentience, and I know you also are bringing astrology into your school and teaching, that expanded engagement with our entire solar family as a sentient mesocosm, as it were, beyond to galactic awareness, beyond to universal awareness. So this is the time that prophecy is spoken of, that we're literally awakening to, where we can expand our sense of me beyond the identity of the ego-based chakra system. And I'm not being blame or shame or any judgment of that, but that sense of differentiated identity, but to then expand our awareness beyond that through these higher transpersonal chakras, with the eighth chakra, the universal heart, being the sort of the threshold, the bridge. You know, just as in music, and you teach so beautifully on harmonics, you know, an octave is eight notes. So when we talk about a seven chakra system, there's something not quite connecting to the higher octaves. So the eighth chakra, the universal heart, does that. It brings us beyond. It invites us beyond to that expanded transpersonal sense of self. And then we're on a whole next adventure of becoming.
Hello, this is Paula Scatoloni. Thank you for listening to the Transformative Harmonics podcast. If this conversation has been interesting to you, I invite you to look at our new Transformative Harmonics Academy. I was inspired to create this membership and academy to bring together not only the transformative power of sound, but also a growing global community of faculty and teachers who are coming together to support you on your journey. So together, you will come and meet myself, others who are interested in spiritual growth, embodiment, soulful connection, opening their gifts, and we will gather weekly to explore, embody, and find our signature frequency. If this is interesting to you, feel free to check out the website or make a discovery call with me at paulascatoloni.com. And now back to the podcast.
Yes, yes. And that is it's like walking into Alice in Wonderland, it feels like, and realizing, oh, there's a whole nother reality here that I had no clue existed. And it brings joy and excitement and starts to open us to beyond. And that gives me hope, right, for the world and for change, because the answers that and the changes that we need to happen will not come from those lower chakra perceptions of, otherwise we would have fixed things by now, right?
That's right. And my experience, and I hope it's for you and your students working with the eighth chakra, is that when we open the universal heart within us, it enables, in what I'm sort of speaking more and more about, universal love to just flow through us. And that of itself is healing.
Yes.
In such a beautiful, natural, simple, easeful way that we don't have to keep going around the old, you know, the old grooves of patternings of trauma. When we open the universal heart within us, and I'm so grateful you're teaching this, then it invites universal love, unitive love, to flow through us. And that is who we truly are. It's remembering that, it seems to me. It's not finding something new. It's a remembering of our foundational nature.
So we could call it, rather than the great awakening, the great remembering.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful.
And, you know, and I think I've been accused of being obsessed with dashes or hyphens. So I'll say one more, you know, remembering, because we essentially over these last few centuries, dismembered our psyche. I talk about us having a dis-ease of separation. And now we've got all the evidences, indeed, universal wisdom teachings of all, and indigenous traditions have always taught us, we are literally inseparable. We are profoundly interdependent with the whole world, the whole web of life. And so we're now remembering, literally, not just intellectually, but we're literally remembering what has been our dismembered psyche and the trauma that comes and the loneliness that comes and the fear that comes with all of that. So this, for me, is such a profound opportunity to heal and to consciously evolve.
Yes. For those who are saying yes to
the journey. Are saying yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's a piece, there's two pieces here. One is that reclamation with Gaia as a sentient force, which we also talk about in my program, and how to find that frequency to come back into relationship with all sentient aspects, right, of the natural world. And so, and then you've broken that down into the molecular structures of the earth and what's happening at a very fundamental level that is beautiful. And I, you know, tried a few times to wrap my head around it because it is almost like you took a magnifying glass and went in yourself to some of those deep places within the earth to be with those structures.
I did. And it's, again, my curiosity. And it's such a wondrous, miraculous, almost marvelous journey. And I think it's for everybody. You know, you spoke earlier about the modalities and the healing modalities that have been such an important part of your journey, to the extent you've got this wonderful pharmacy that you can go to. Oh, that's right for that person. That's right for that person. And I've, you know, trod my path in ways that, you know, I hope I can serve from all this perspective. But I just invite everybody to, when we say yes to the invitation of the universe, each of our paths is unique. And yet we're all on the same very broad pathway to remembered wholeness, it seems to me. So for some people, it would be, or for perhaps one person, it would be through art. Through another, through gardening, another through, I don't know, anything and everything. But together, we're each unique and yet we're undifferentiated, and yet we truly are inseparable. So together we co-create this incredible harmonics. You know, we're all notes of the great cosmic symphony we call our universe. And so we can learn from each other. We can sing and dance and play and co-create and serve together and link up and lift up together in doing so. I say everybody's, for me, it's the yes is what makes someone's heart sing. What is their passion? What is their joy, as you said? And follow that path.
Yes. And everything that's happened in your life prepares you. As you think about, why did I go into this career or why did I take this? Well, it's all a piece of the puzzle, isn't it? Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's back to Kierkegaard. You know, we don't necessarily understand it forwards. We live it forwards. But when we do look back, you know, that was why. Especially if we are open to appreciating that perhaps nothing's wasted, and sometimes the most challenging circumstances are the ones that we can learn from to the greatest degree. And my life certainly has not been what I'd call easy. It's been very eventful and very challenging at times, but I've learned to really appreciate and see those challenges as learning opportunities. And I don't mean that in a bland way, because some of them have been extraordinarily difficult to come to that perspective. But when I have, it's just been extraordinary and remarkable to see how other doors have been opened almost through that realization.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a practice and a almost feels like a humbleness about the human experience that we are here to experience, right? Otherwise, we would not have come. So on that line, as we move into higher and higher states of consciousness and connection through that transpersonal, we begin to connect beyond into our cosmic family and our cosmic intelligence and the greater forces. And it feels like the world right now is also ready and on the verge to talk about that. And I've watched, been watching and seeing, how is this going to be presented? How is this going to be? And it's, yeah, it's a little distressing in terms of the separateness that the mass consciousness experiences, and then how they might traverse this idea that we are cosmically connected versus through the universal heart and the understanding that, you know, these higher intelligences, these other intelligences are higher intelligences, and that it's through the heart that is the doorway to connecting. Do you have any thoughts about that right now?
Yeah, very much so, very much so. As you say, there's so much converging now. And in one sense, you know, this journey of apparent separation has brought us to this point where people talk about a polycrisis because of the, you know, the ways we've been in the world through seeing the world through that lens of separation and materiality. And so for me, there's a deeper aspect to what's called the convergence of issues on the polycrisis, which is what I call a meta-crisis, which is a crisis of meaning and of purpose, because the worldview we've had has really been a worldview not only of separation and materialism, but a worldview without innate meaning and purpose. And we've now come to a point where that's brought us to an unsustainable position. And at the same time, which is wondrous, we're also now got the evidence at all scales of existence across many, many different fields of research that are turning that worldview on its head. They're providing the evidence that instead of a world of separation, that literally our universe meaningfully exists and purposefully evolves as what I refer to as a unitive entity. And back to the Vedic tradition where, you know, mind and consciousness aren't what we have, but literally what we and the whole world are. So that is now coming forward to such an extent that recently the Club of Rome, who are very influential and who come from a very much a systems transformational perspective around the world, invited me to write a discussion paper called The Unitive Science of a Living Universe. So I shared all of this and be delighted to send you a link, but that lays out the evidence that then invites us to ask new questions. In other words, with this new understanding and our remembering, but based on the evidence, how does this new understanding invite us to ask different questions of how we relate with each other, how we relate with our planetary home, how we educate our children not to become cogs in a machine, but as learning ecosystems of regeneration and creativity? How do we bring, instead of a fragmented zero-sum, win-lose approach to technologies and AI, which is really vital at the moment, do we engage with augmented intelligence to train it as you would train a child on win-win relationships? Because this is our opportunity, it seems to me, and this is what the discussion paper lays out. And the Club of Rome asked for it because they realize that we cannot get to where we would love to be from a fragmented worldview. We can't find ways to peace. We can't find ways to healthy, you know, relationships of cooperation if we're really standing on the illusion of separation rather than actually grounding ourselves in the existential reality that we are unique representations, you know, differentiated expressions of the whole world. And so that for me is incredibly exciting and offers us authentic hope, and especially to our young people at the moment. So we've come to this point, it's like the 11th hour, and now the door's opening to the potential, the possibility of us remembering, of us awakening, of us, you know, moving forward together into a whole new adventure. And that does include our cosmic families, our the vast communities of life that our universe has nurtured into, you know, individuated intelligence and self-awareness. And I feel like you, that we are on the brink of openly remembering that those are our relatives too.
Yes. And that what you're proposing, and that gives me a lot of hope, that we are stewards of the consciousness itself. Because we have many young people in their 20s. I have nieces, nephews that they've given up, you know, because they think, what did you just hand me? A mess, right? But to think of ourselves as stewards of the consciousness, that there is something next that can evolve if we recognize that stewardship and what that means. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And a dear friend of mine is an ex-Undersecretary General of the United Nations. And he speaks of, and we've written together about this, of how are we good ancestors for future generations? How do we want to be remembered in these turbulent times of pivotal change? You know, remembered for how we served our young people, for all we did in whatever way we can, not to hand them this mess, but to help to alleviate it. And also in doing so, empower them, inspire them, empower them, support them, facilitate them in terms of, you know, living lives of authentic hope.
Yes, that are guided from that universal heart.
That are wholly guided from the universal heart. Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's so beautiful. I feel so much hope and inspiration speaking with you today. It has been such a pleasure to share this space and just follow, where you're heading. I have hope to know that you're being invited into spaces to bring this message and to have those conversations with the scientists and the religious institutions, right, that are shifting as a result of this as well.
Yes, indeed. I recently contributed a chapter to a two-volume book on interspirituality, and guided by a marvelous friend and colleague, Kurt Johnson. And that brings many voices into, you know, the coming together in this way and this convergence of science and spirituality. So I call the chapter an emergent into spiritual cosmology, because it does bring science and spirit together and converges with universal wisdom teachings and indigenous teachings and traditions. So I think it is absolutely wonderful that we're able to do this now. And yes, I think more than ever, people are ready for this, Paula, aren't they? People are ready, because we've lived in such a desert, in a way, of where we've not known really whether we have meaning and purpose. I did a film a little while ago called A Radical Guide to Reality, and it's for truth seekers of all ages. But its science level is 13 to 14 year olds. And we had some focus groups, and we asked the focus groups, 13, 14 year olds, how does the film make you feel? And all of them said, before they saw the film, they weren't sure about their meaning or their purpose in life. After seeing the film, they know they belong. They know they belong. And that was such a beautiful response. And so that's what I hope all of this invites everyone into, is a realization and a remembering that we all belong.
Yes.
We all belong.
Yes. Even the things that we might not even consider sentient.
Yeah. Is part of a universe.
Is part of it.
Sentience. Exactly. Our entire universe is essentially sentient. And that's, you know, what my books are about, but that's also what the Club of Rome discussion paper and the unitive science of a living universe is about. And I'm also working with wonderful colleagues on something called the science of unitive love or soul. And, you know, that is moving forward now, and we can offer you links to that.
Great.
As well. Because what we're really doing with that is we're inviting people into a lived, experiential, embodied knowing that love is foundational for our being and also that of the universe.
So beautiful. Yes, let's please connect people to, I think that pathway of embodied experiences is the way this is going to happen, because I do think reading is very good. I find I have a left brain intellectual part so that I can relax into the expanded transpersonal experience, knowing, you know, I'm going to go places that my mind is going to challenge the constructs of my mind. So I love that balance, and I'm excited to hear that you're taking, you know, all types of people, it sounds like, through these experiences.
Very much. And you know, again, this is so multi-level. So I'm working with leading economists for a transformation to what's sometimes called a death economy of extraction, exploitation, externalizing harms, to regenerative economy founded on this unitive understanding, working with educators the same way, working with folks at the leading edge of technology and AI, working with folks in peace and working towards community healing. So many, many different levels, but all of it is the same invitation really into remembering of wholeness and a remembering of love.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, you are a force within yourself. I love it. If you come across anyone in the music industry, that is my industry of thinking about and shifting our relationship with music as a sentient force, that my perception is that it comes from a different level of consciousness. I'm sure musicians who create music would agree, and that it is here to serve us as well. So there's so many exciting, interesting ways to touch and support.
I love this. And just to complete on that point of music and harmonies, I'm also on the committee for something called the Planetary Arts Movement of the World Academy of Arts and Sciences. So we'll be having more conversations about harmonics and music and arts and culture and co-creativity. In all of this, it's vital.
Yes, beautiful. Well, I have a lot of hope and inspiration from this talk. I hope my listeners do as well. I do not doubt that. I thank you so much for sharing this space and taking the time. I know you're very busy, so it's just been a pleasure to spend time with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paula, and thanks to everyone. And realizing we're all on this journey together.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Many, many thanks, my dear.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of the Transformative Harmonics podcast. If this discussion resonated with you, please subscribe, share the episode, or write a review. This helps to support the expanding community around embodiment, sound, and conscious living. You can visit Transformative Harmonics at paulascatoloni.com to find out more about my work, forthcoming classes, and the Transformative Harmonics Academy. You can also reach out and connect with me on Instagram. My handle is at Paula Scatoloni. I write regularly on Substack at Signature Frequency Living. Until next time, take good care, and thank you for being part of the journey.